Hi, this is Farah Hürdüz for Jerry Pippin Radio Show. We are in New York City today, and my guest is Mark Kimmel. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Very well. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you very much for joining to our show. And we were in a wonderful meeting with you today. I had the chance to listen your speech. Can you please speak to Jerry Pippin Radio Show listeners about you?
So what would you like to know?
Who is Mark Kimmel?
Well, I am a retired businessman. I was in the business world for about 30 years, and then I got a tap on the shoulder, a wake-up call, if you will. And so now I'm off talking full-time about extraterrestrials, talking about the larger reality, and talking about what we should be doing about it rather than just talking.
What was your wake-up call?
My wake-up call happened in 1987 when three extraterrestrials came to visit me in my room on several successive nights. And they basically made an agreement with my higher self that I would go and leave the business world and begin to write and talk about their presence here on this planet and why they are here and what we should be doing about it.
Because of all this, big changes in your life, do you consider yourself as a lucky man? Are you a lucky man?
Oh, I'm very lucky. I'm very happy to be out of my old profession, off the old treadmill, if you will. And I'm very happy to be doing what I'm doing. And I have a wonderful support system and many good friends that I have made in this arena. And yes, I'm a lucky man.
And everybody is talking about a paradigm lately. The word of paradigm is very, very popular. What is your paradigm?
Well, I have a new paradigm that I talk about as contrasted with the old paradigm. And the old paradigm is what we all grew up with in terms of this is the way it is. We have structures, we have institutions, we have education, we have religion, we have all of these things, and they're kind of handed to us as we're growing up. And that we're told to believe in those and to act accordingly. My looking back upon that, I was part of that, but I now see that I was basically enslaved by my job, by my career, and I'm now a free man. And so I can go and comment on that. And the new paradigm, which I call the cosmic paradigm, is something I'm trying to convince people is possible. Because the cosmic paradigm is totally the opposite of the existing paradigm. The things about the cosmic paradigm are we don't need to go and burn coal and petroleum for fuel. There are other ways to have energy. We don't all have to go and be deeply in debt. There are ways in which we could have unlimited wealth. There are ways in which we could go and be cooperative with each other instead of competitive. And so it's a very new way of looking at things, but it's very possible. It's the way of which people on other planets live. And they're telling us that it's possible here.
And during your speech today, you said something about being unplugged. Unplugged. So what is being unplugged?
Well, being unplugged means that you no longer wish to be part of the existing paradigm. So you're withdrawing yourself from that. It means to go and be withdrawn from the power grid. It means to be independent in terms of where's your water, where's your food supply. It means not having debt. It means having a source of savings. It means to go and unplug yourself from the financial system so you're not living on credit cards and that type of thing. It means just unplugging from all of the institutions that would like to control us in one way or the other. There's a number of government entities that would like to tell us how to live and so on. So unplugged means freeing yourself to be who you really are as opposed to who other people are telling you you ought to be.
And we have been focusing over ETs. We are very interested in extraterrestrial races. And what is the position of human race in the universe?
Well, first of all, the humans of this planet are very much the equal of any of the ETs. We are not inferior, nor are we superior to them. They are our brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And so they are here to give us a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. The wake-up call is, it's time for you to become cosmic citizens. It's time for you to come out and join with us to appreciate the larger reality, to know what's going on, and to set aside all the structures and the limitations you have placed upon yourselves.
And you have been investigating ET messages, I guess, in the last 20 years?
Yes.
So what kind of messages there are?
Well, we can go down the list. There's a lot of messages. One that's very obvious is, the first message is, look, we're here. Okay, so that's the first message, is we're here. We got here from a different star system. We're from different planets around that star system. And so we have technologies, and also we have the ability to communicate with you.
What kind of communication?
Well, this is all telepathic communication by and large. Occasionally there is information that gets put into a written form. Like, I have two books, which basically I had a lot of help writing those books. Put a pause. So that's a fairly fundamental message. We're here. And a second message is, we've been here a long time. And we know from a lot of information that's coming from extraterrestrials, that's being conveyed to people all over the planet, that the ETs have been here for thousands of years. In fact, they are the ones that originally brought life here. So if anyone thinks that life came out of some ocean all by itself, life did not happen that way. Life was brought to this planet. And very simple life to begin with, and then there was an evolutionary process that happened for a while, and then more life was brought, higher life forms, that type of thing.
And how could we explain this theory in the religious way? What does religion say about the starting of life on the Earth planet by the hands of extraterrestrials?
Well, I think what religion would say is, it would attribute the starting of life to God. Mm-hmm. All right? But if you really examine the documents very carefully and analyze, for instance, the book of Genesis, I think you can find that you can very quickly jump to the fact that this is an extraterrestrial involvement. Now, keep in mind, my definition of extraterrestrial includes not only physical beings, but it includes non-physical beings like angels and spirits and celestials. Okay, so if we do that, then all of a sudden that opens up the entire plethora, if you will, a virtual cornucopia of life forms, thousands of different life forms interacting with us on a lot of different levels. If you and I were here talking about this maybe 200 or 300 years ago, we'd be talking about angels. Today we talk about extraterrestrials.
Okay. So is this the Starseed Project, or it was the Starseed Project?
Yeah, the Starseed Project specifically was to bring the first precursors of humans here, the first mammalian life forms. That, you know, we did not just evolve from monkeys, okay? We were brought here as pre-humans. Now, we weren't fully formed as Homo sapiens, that came later. but we were brought here with the idea, okay, here are the four races of the white, the black, the red, and the yellow. And we will come, we will bring you together here, so each of you has a talent. And if you can go and mesh these talents, we will create something that has never been done in the universe before. So it was a very beautiful, beautiful story. And that story then got interrupted because there were some folks that thought that this was their planet, and so they decided to come in and take over. And that's a story that's told in some of the ancient writings and that type of thing.
As we know, people is talking about indigo children, crystal children, or star children. And in the last maybe 15 years, they say that special souls are incarnating in indigo children. So is this a part of Starseed Project? Is it still going on?
I think the indigo children and the star children are, again, evidence that life is just not evolving on this planet all by itself, but that we are getting help from other civilizations. I don't know whether it's the same people doing the indigo children or helping to make that happen as we're involved in the starseed. I don't have that answer, but it's very evident to me that we have a lot of help, whether you call it angels or celestials or extraterrestrial. We're not alone in this, and I think we're being very well taken care of. Keep in mind, however, that we still have the existing paradigm, which is a very negative paradigm in which we live. So we have to balance the help we're getting from outside with the negative paradigm in which we live.
We are talking about very spiritual and cosmic things today in a New York City restaurant, and the background is very noisy. I would like to ask you, did you have your own UFO sightings?
Oh yes, I've had a number of UFO sightings, all different kinds and shapes, and it's happened over a period of several years in several different places, and they are truly amazing. I've seen entire spaceships go and materialize and dematerialize. They've come and sat down on the ground near to me. And so I have sufficient evidence for me to know that they're very real, and that's all I need.
Who makes UFOs? What are they? Are they made by metal? Are they made by plasma? What is the physical side of UFOs?
Well, UFOs are a craft that is used to transport entities, either celestials. Interestingly enough, celestials need some sort of a transport mechanism to get from one planet to another. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. They just don't fly, okay? But it could be for celestials or it could be for physical beings. Mm-hmm. And my understanding of the way in which this happens is that these entities are very powerful, so they simply say, we would like to grow ourselves a craft. And they design it mentally, and they grow it. It doesn't happen physically. They don't put it together in terms of pieces and parts.
So a UFO is the result of the mental energy, mental creation energy?
Yes, it's the result of mental energy and some very powerful beings. But what we don't understand is we probably have that same ability to do that. We just have been told we don't. And you know how it is when someone tells you you can't do something. It's like, well, either rebel or you say, oh, well, I guess I really can't do that after all. It's like if someone tells you, well, you couldn't possibly climb Mount Everest, you probably say, you're right, I probably can't climb Mount Everest.
If you never had any UFO sightings, would you believe in the reality of extraterrestrial races?
I think it helps a lot to have those sightings. It makes a very big impact on you when you see these UFOs. First, when I saw You know, I was just shaking from head to toe. I was so excited. Now, I don't know whether it was excited or fearful, but anyway, it makes a big impact. So it's very helpful to have those. I believe that a lot of people have seen UFOs, but what happens is that it's not within their consciousness, and so they dismiss them as saying, oh, that must have just been a meteor, or that must, oh, that was just, I don't know what that was, but yeah, I won't pay attention to it. If we can open ourselves up to really paying attention to what's going on, we will see these things. We can see them, a lot of them, but it's a focus. So I think it's a wonderful privilege to be open enough to see these. But yes, it helps a lot. It really does. It changes you from a believer to a knower. And there's a big distinction there between believing something is true and knowing that it's true.
And people is talking about positive ETs, negative ETs, different races, reptilians, and we have question marks in our minds. My question is, are there good ETs and bad ETs?
Well, here we have to go and differentiate between knowing and believing.
Mm-hmm.
My personal experience has been that everything that I have experienced is with, shall I call them, benevolent. I don't like to talk about them in terms of good and bad or good and evil, that type of thing. But everything that I have experienced is very benevolent. Now, part of that is what you put out, you also get back. That's an old universal law.
Goodness attracts the goodness.
That's right. And so it may be that that's what is happening to me. I am aware of other people. And I know that they've had experiences which were not very pleasant. And that may be because that's what they're putting out.
Now, such as abductions, hurtful abductions?
Yeah, I think that I would rather call them contact experiences than abductions. I think some of the contact experiences that are very fearful for people are because they are fearful people to begin with, and so they see the world in fearful terms. So if they have a contact experience, it's very fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say that all of the ETs are strictly in our corner and are operating in our best interest. No, that's not true. There are some ET, and it's not a whole race of ET. It's very particular to the individual. Just like you see other humans, you don't really know whether that person walking down the street is going to be helpful to you or not helpful until you get to know them. The same is true of the ETs. So you can't talk in terms of reptilians being all bad. They are not all bad. You can't talk in terms of Palladians being... So when we meet someone, you don't really know offhand when you first meet them whether they're going to be beneficial to you or whether they're not going to be beneficial. And so just as it is here on this level of reality, so it is within the extraterrestrials. Not every reptilian is going to be negative, and not every Palladian is going to be good. Okay? So we can't paint with too broad a brush. We have to be very specific. But yes, and it took me a long time to understand that there are some ETs that are not operating in our best interests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, I think the vast majority of them are, but it's a few of the rogues. And there's an old saying that it only takes one bad apple to spoil the entire barrel. And I think that's really what's going on here. But they have been very effective at enslaving the entire human race.
Can you give me a sample?
Why would we be destroying our environment? Why would we do that? Why would we be having more children than we can possibly support? Why would we be allowing our economy to make all of the decisions for us? In this world, we tend to make economic decisions first, and then everything else kind of falls in line. That isn't necessarily in our best interests.
Today, during your speech, you said something that I really like. You said that we are the focus of a galactic opera. So this really explains many things that we are living in, but we cannot solve. So who writes this galactic opera?
That's a very good question. And I think if you will go and check out my book, Decimal, you'll get a very good indication of the galactic opera. In Decimal, I go and talk about the secret government. I talk about the influence of the extraterrestrials. And then the rest of the book is about some very benign extraterrestrials that are living here amongst us trying to wake us up. So it has all the elements of an opera. Some of it is very beautiful, some of it is very, should we say, dramatic. And at the same time, the opera reaches a climax at some point in time, and it's going to come to an end. So the end, I think, is not too far down the road. Now, also, with an opera, you have actors and singers and those type of things. People, we came here with an idea that we were supposed to play a part in this opera.
So, could this explain the reality of reincarnation in a way?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that question.
Is this another explanation of reincarnation ideas? So we are coming to the life accepting a role that we are going to experience?
Yes. Yes, I think I've come to understand that we incarnate for a lifetime, that we know ahead of time that we are going to be doing that, that we choose the particular family, we choose the time that we wish to come here for this, for the growth of our soul. Now, that also plays into this galactic opera somehow or the other, because it's a very complex opera. It has a billions of players. And what's interesting to think about is that maybe in the opera that you and I are in, that some of these other people in this restaurant, for instance, are the support actors. But with the opera that they are playing, we might be the support actors. So there could be different operas going on at the same time, kind of in different time and place dimensions.
Different realities, different paradigms for each person. And do you think that you were chosen by extraterrestrials to give a message to the world?
Yeah, extraterrestrials are here first and foremost to give us a wake-up call, to tell us, look, it is time for the human race to wake up. You have been asleep for all of these years. You have been enslaved. It's now time for you to wake up. Now is the moment.
So do you know why you were chosen by them?
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
But you don't have complaints. You are happy about it.
Oh, it's fine. You know, I can't think of anything that I would rather be doing. I can't think of anything that's more important to be doing than what I'm doing right now. And I'm happy to devote my time and energy and resources to doing it.
You have been traveling in an RV with your wife, and you gave speeches in 20 states.
Yes.
How was the reaction?
Well, the reaction is always very good, because almost everyone feels that something is not quite right. And a lot of people are very hungry to know more of the truth. So when I go and talk to groups of people, I always get lots of questions about, can you tell me about this? Can you tell me about that? And always there's someone that comes up afterwards saying, you know, I really would like to talk to you because I'm having a paranormal experience, and I'd like to have some explanation for it or something like that. So the reception, I think, is very good. But I'm talking about a subject that's very difficult. I'm asking people to do something that changes their lives. And people don't necessarily want to change. People want to go and continue their lives. They would like the status quo, regardless of how bad it is. It's a known quantity, so they don't want to change that known for something totally unknown. And that's very difficult. So the things I talk about are hard, but people are listening, and some people are beginning to change. They're beginning to do things.
I'm sure there will be many, many people who are going to listen to this interview in overseas. They cannot reach you physically. They cannot come to the United States to listen to your speeches. But they can reach you sending you emails. So what is your message to the people who are looking for a new paradigm?
Well, first of all, let's tell them how to reach me.
Yes.
Okay. And the easiest way to find me is at the cosmicparadigm.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that's www.cosmicparadigm.com. Now, there's another way to reach me, and that is with ufo-truth.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can find me there, and they can send emails. They can find copies of my speeches. They can find information there about the current sightings from all over the world. And there are people all over the world that communicate with me on a regular basis, because we're forming a network of people from around the globe who are willing to do something about the current human situation here in cooperation with the ETs.
And what is the future of the Earth planet?
Well, first of all, I don't know.
Any information from ET Brothers?
Well, the future is that there's going to be a transition of the planet. And that means that the planet itself is transitioning to a higher level. And we're being invited to come along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are going to be given a choice where they will be allowed to come along. If they are enlightened, they'll be allowed to come along to a transitioned world. And if they decide they don't want to come along, that's fine. They can go and reincarnate somewhere in a third dimensional world, and they'll be perfectly happy there. One of the interesting things about that is when they incarnate on a third dimensional world, it'll be like the incarnation here, and they'll think, oh, this is all very familiar.
Reincarnation is a universal part, universal truth. And how do you explain being a human being but carrying an eternal soul?
Well, the way I explain it is that I am first and foremost a fragment of divinity,
mm-hmm,
who has a costume that I'm wearing for about 75 years, plus or minus a few years. So I got this costume, and it's a living, breathing costume. It's kind of a neat one. I kind of like it. But I get to wear this costume for a while. And the one I have right now is kind of interesting. I've had different ones before at different times and places. And so that's my understanding of incarnation. Reincarnation means that I've done this more than once, going back probably thousands of years. I don't have memories any further back than about 2,000 years, but I can go back about that far.
Thank you very much for this very, very interesting interview. Do you have any last message to Jerry Pippen radio show listeners?
Well, I would say that please go out and do your own homework, investigate. There are lots of messages out there. You have to find the one which you resonate with. If you like what I'm saying, come to the website, poke around. There's about 1,000 pages of information there So lots to look at, and we would welcome you to join the Cosmic Paradigm Network.
Thank you, Mark, and please have a safe trip to home to Colorado. We hope to see you soon back in New York City.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure to be here.